In the name of Jesus, amen. Real quick housekeeping, I suppose. The sermon title you'll see is called Good Manners. And I had planned that as we printed. And then after we printed, I kind of had a change of heart. You could say the Spirit moved me and changed my focus from one text to another, and because I really wanted to go into Ephesians and look over what God has said and what Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus and our text from Ephesians. So good manners doesn't necessarily fit with what I have in mind for the message here. So for all of you who really pay attention to that and wanted to know if why those things won't match up, there you go. But I wanted to go here and, well, I guess I'll start with this little quick story. When I was a kid, there was a very popular television show, and it was also a digital game that got me and my friends all caught up within a nice fantasy world that we can imagine ourselves being in. I think it's still pretty popular today, and I could hear from, Trenton could probably tell me later if it's still popular for little kids. And well, the way I understand it was because this world was awesome. It had little animals, little creatures that you could capture and use to fight with your friends and your rivals and your opponents. The hero of the story, the hero within this message, would go and all over the region, all over his continent, all over his home area, to try to capture and find these little animals, these little monsters, so that he could go and fight his rivals, his opponents, other gym leaders, and things of those nature. Me and my peers idolized this 10-year-old boy who goes by the name of Ash, who was on his journey to become a master. We loved the interesting monsters and the animals, and we tried to name them all, and he would capture them using his fighting techniques, and especially with his favorite monster, a little mouse called Pikachu. And Pikachu was one of these many types of Pokemon that my friends and I would try to collect in card games and video games and play outside with, watch on TV. Pokemon was that phenomenon that we were all caught up in. But there were these catchphrases that came with the Pokemon. And there was two of them I can remember. One of them, the first one, was, gotta catch them all. Gotta catch all the Pokemon. It was one of Ash's favorite line, or part of the show's favorite line, but Ash's favorite line was whenever he would enter one of these little battles, or whenever he was going to send out one of his Pokemon, Ash would always yell out, I choose you, and then throw this little ball that had the monster inside. And the animal would come out and use and follow the bidding of what Ash had in mind for him. I choose you. And whatever animal would pop out to do what Ash has prepared for him to do. Fight an opponent, capture another Pokemon, all these things. That's all I'm going to say about Pokemon, I promise. But I think it's helpful to consider, especially as we think about our text, because I think our text from Ephesians suggests something similar. Because from Ephesians 1, the one we read earlier, or Linda read for us, Paul is opening up his letter to the Ephesians people, the people of Ephesus. And this is the opening of his letter. So he's laying down exactly what's going to follow after he sets this little introduction. And he gives us this interesting introduction about, well, about choice. It's kind of difficult maybe to figure out where all the pronouns are going, what they attach to and things, because in this passage from 3 through 14, in the original, it's supposed to only be four sentences. And you have two paragraphs, and it's all supposed to be four sentences in the original language, because Paul is using this, is trying to get to the point of his text. So that's why it gets a little confusing for us, because it doesn't really come out in the English as well. But what he's dealing with is this matter of choice, that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, that he has prepared things before the foundations of the world, that he predestined us for adoption, that he, according to his purpose and will, set this out, that making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, that God's plan for the fullness of time, that God predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And Paul recalls several times God's plan, God's purpose, God's holy and divine will for the creation, all packed down into what God has chosen. What God chooses. And these opening remarks help the people of Ephesus, as they get into the rest of the letter, lay out what Paul has said. This is just the premise and the foundations for what will follow and what Paul will expect of the Ephesian people and what he has to say to them and in their relationship with God. Initially, I think this sort of choosing language, this choice, this purpose, is something we might like a lot. We might look like it, yes, that's right, a choice, the right to choose, the right to have my own plan and a purpose and be captain of my own fate. I like it. It's freedom of opportunity and a choice that I get to decide. But we notice quickly that the plan, the purpose, the will, and the choice is not something we decide, but it's what God decides. It's what God chooses. It's what God predestines, Paul says. And it's what he has already done before the foundations of the world. Paul says it was the choice of God. It was his will, laid out perfectly, true and free will for the creation, all decided by God. And that can be kind of threatening to us. A threat because that means I can't make any changes. I don't have a choice in it at all. And it should bother us a lot. Because we pride ourselves on our right to choose, our freedom of choice, our freedom to do what we want to do. I have a choice in what I wore today, right? I have a choice to get this car or that car. I chose to come to church. It was my choice to pursue this career. It was my choice to retire at this age. I had a choice to get engaged, to get married to this person. It was my choice. I get to choose who represents me in public life, whether or not I like the outcome, but at least I had a chance and a choice to make that decision. At least I have a voice when it comes to electing those who will lead me. I choose my job. I choose where I want to live. I choose who I love. When we hear that God is the one who chooses, who's the only one who has decided, it makes it difficult for us to receive that. Because we see that we ourselves have our own choice in the matter of things. That I chose to go to Sunday school. I chose to bring my kid to baptism. I chose to receive the Lord's Supper. I chose to be in this church, to go to church. It's my right to choose. I have that freedom. And no one else can tell me what to do. But Paul says to the Ephesians and to you and me, no, it's God's right to choose. It's God who elects. It's God's freedom of choice. It's God's plan, God's will. And you don't have much say in it. Mainly because everything was decided before the foundation of the world. Predestined, as Paul would put it, right? And that's frightening. That makes us anxious because questions arise. And what do I contribute? What does it matter what I do then? Or can I just do whatever I want because it's been decided, I guess? Am I fated to this outcome, to these predestined choices I had no control over? But more importantly, am I chosen? Am I God's choice? Well, Paul says to you and me that the Lord has blessed us and revealed to us the mystery of his will. God has spoken to us, and he has told us his choice and what he has chosen to do. Jesus Christ was God's choice, the one who makes the love of God known throughout the creation to you. He's the one who came down onto the earth in the midst of our world to take on our burdens of sin, to take on death, to take on our feelings of weakness and doubts and trouble, to put them to death. He takes on the part of us that would like to choose. He takes the moments where we think we should be able to decide. And he says to you, this is my choice. And I choose you. That's why he went to the cross. Because God chose to send his son to die to bring you back to the Father, back to him, to choose you. And Jesus rose from the grave so that he could say, I choose you to be my child in the world, to show the love of God and take care of this creation. The way we experience this was in our baptism. When the Lord's name was placed on you and claimed you, you are mine. I choose you. It's a promise that the Lord keeps, not a choice you or our parents made. And just like our buddy Ash, who sends out one of his Pokemon and says, I choose you. God chooses us and sends us to do his bidding, to serve his creation, to love and take care of the people right next to us. Our family, our friends, the people we love. And you know he is a loving and merciful God. You can trust his word and listen to what he says. And when your heart and conscience are burdened and you experience uncertainties, whether you are chosen or you come to the altar begging for God's forgiveness, or you just don't know what to do today, what he has chosen you to do, the Lord has given you his body and blood to assure you of who you are, one of his chosen. And you're invited today to receive that, to be chosen again. For the Lord gives you his body and blood to reassure you and to bless you. And what that means then is that you're no longer one who chooses the life that you lead, but the Lord bestows on you a new life that goes out in service to our neighbor, to live in our vocations, and to receive and accept our callings in life. Because you know you do take care of the creation in your jobs. You take care of what God has given you by raising your families, the ones closest to you, and just in love and service to the world around us. You are chosen, and you know this because of your baptism. You hear the word of Jesus Christ, you listen and you believed him, and it is the faith that we believe. Yes, sure, we do have our choices that we make. But the choices we make are all within the will of God and what he has given us to do. And that doesn't mean we do whatever we want. Because just as Paul says in later in Ephesians, in chapter 2, verse 10, you are created as workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. You are a child of God. And you are God's, sent to serve and to love wherever, whatever, and whomever the Lord has placed before you. This is grace. This is mercy. This is God choosing before the foundations of the world to make you his intimate and precious child. But to me, there's still a devil nagging at the back of my head. What about those around me who I love, who do not hear and who do not receive? Are they chosen? It's easy to fall and to realize that world around us, because the world is less Christian in our area. And you and I deal with people who are not part of the body of Christ all the time. But it's especially hard and bothersome when our loved ones don't believe. More because we realize it's not us who choose, but God who chooses. So when we see them struggle and fall away, I can't help but wonder, are they chosen? And our questions are genuine, and they come out of anguish and sorrow. And at times we want to assert some control over the course of our lives, over our loved ones' lives, and control God. We want a formula to make it right and better. We want to decide for ourselves to feel better and make the problem go away. I know, but we're not God. And even in the midst of our anguish, we ought to commit our loved ones and our lives to Christ's wounded hands. To let God and Jesus Christ continue to reveal himself in his word to those we love. For the seed is good and it bears fruit. Even when we cannot witness it and see only weeds and stony ground and hungry birds before the harvest, no, we continue to pray because God has promised to hear our prayers, even on behalf of our loved ones. And it's just like Jesus when he prayed in the garden for us. He prayed for you. And so we too pray for those around us, our loved ones, whose faith that we might not even see, and it could very well be hidden from us, and only God can see and know what's in our hearts. So maybe it's best to leave such things to God. But there is a challenge for us, that when we are called to speak God's unconditional gospel to that person, and it could be a time of great distress for them, and it's often in those times that the gospel comes through most clearly. But we should also pray that maybe someone else would bring a fitly spoken word. Because, after all, we may be the ones who can bear the word of Jesus for someone else's loved one. In all things, we can be content with ourselves and God's words in Romans. That it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. God shows mercy to you. And we see it in Jesus Christ, the one who came down into the world, this messy world, and our messy lives, to take on our burdens and sins, to die on a cross, and to rise from the dead to claim you, to restore you and redeem you. The choices we now make do not belong to us because, as children of God, we live out the Lord's will. Whatever small kingdom you have to rule over, whatever the Lord has gifted right in front of you and placed you in, it is you that he sends to take care of it, to love it, and to cultivate it. Meanwhile, we do hope in the resurrection, when all of creation will be brought up into the new heavens and the new earth, and yet we still continue to live taking care of one another, hearing the word of God that reclaims us each and every day so we can put our troubles and worries on him, and those opportunities to share Jesus Christ and his gospel will come. And as the Lord's child, you will be given the opportunity to share that grace with others, to speak God's word, and to say to them, as you have heard here today, I choose you and Jesus Christ. Amen.